Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Samech Zion. We're in Samech Vav Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amud, Samech Vav Amud Beis. And we're in a complex sugya. The discussion that we've been having now over the course of yesterday, and it's going to continue today, is that of Bittul HaRishus. So let me give a quick recap of what we did yesterday. And because really, yesterday and today are really parts of the same discussion. And then we'll continue. And by today we're not going to catch up, I'm telling you right now. Today we're going to get to the bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. We'll finish the discussion of Bittul HaRishus, and then tomorrow for Shavuos we'll start a new sugya. But in the meantime, however, in this discussion of Bittul HaRishus, so let's first, before we get too involved in the details, which we're going to get involved in the details, but let me just give a framework for how all of us are really to understand Bittul HaRishus. Meaning, on Shabbos, before Shabbos, what we should be doing as members of the Chatz is we need to be making an Eruv. Meaning, that's game plan, that's our first game plan. So that when we make an Eruv, now we're all unified, we're incorporated, we're all now one entity. And so now I can carry from my Rishus Yachid to my house, to your house, from my house to the common courtyard, from the common courtyard to somebody else's house, meaning through the mechanism of Eruv, through the vehicle of Eruv. So now we're all unified, we're all one entity. That's plan A. And that's really what we should be doing. Plan B basically means is that we should have made an Eruv and we didn't. Okay, for whatever reason, life happens, okay, whatever the explanation is, we didn't make an Eruv. So now that we didn't make an Eruv, so now you have, in case of emergency, break glass. So in the world of Eruv, and break glass means we're going to do this process of what's called Bittul HaRishus. Bittul HaRishus, even on Shabbos itself, what we could do is that I could relinquish my rights to the common property. And by relinquishing my rights for the common property, I'm no longer part of this courtyard. This courtyard no longer is associated with me. And every member, except for one person of the Chatzah, can do that. So then that ultimately, when everyone is Mevatel Rishus, so now what's going to end up happening is now it's no longer a common courtyard. But rather, this courtyard is going to be associated with only one person living in the courtyard. And that's what Bittul HaRishus does. Now, it's not a great plan, meaning it's plan B, it's not plan A. If I go through plan B of Bittul HaRishus, it's only going to allow that one person who has not relinquished his rights, that one person to be able to carry from his house to the courtyard.
What's the incentive for all these other guys to be locked in there?
In other words, there is for them there will be no incentive to do so. There must be some compelling reason. The simplest example I can give you is, let's say, for example, there's a Sefer Torah. Well, there are a couple of other examples, but let's say I just throw this out as one simple example. There's a Sefer Torah in somebody's house, and we want to be able to take it out to the courtyard. Okay? And we didn't make an Eruv. So now, the Chatzar in general understands that here's what we need to do. We need to get the Sefer Torah from his house into the courtyard. We didn't put up an Eruv as we should have. So now we can do Bittul HaRishus. And everyone now is going to relinquish their rights except for the one homeowner who has got the Sefer Torah. And now he'll be able to take the Sefer Torah from his house to the courtyard.
Shabbat?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Meaning Bittul HaRishus is basically in case of emergency. And we're here, meaning we're at an emergency state because we didn't set up an Eruv. Okay, that's your basic... It's really a good way to look at what Bittul HaRishus is, and then it facilitates understanding of the two basic opinions. What are the two basic opinions? So yesterday's daf, we basically introduced ourselves to the two basic opinions, that of Shmuel and that of Rav Yochanan. Okay, first Shmuel, because he's a more extreme, and it's always easier to explain the extremes. Okay, life is easy on the extremes. It's when you're in the middle that things get a little more complicated. But first, we'll deal with Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Do you know when you can do Bittul HaRishus? There has to be two criteria in order for us to be allowed to do Bittul HaRishus. Number one, says Shmuel, we have to have gone into Shabbos where we needed an Eruv, meaning I would not have been able to carry without an Eruv. So in other words, a chater, right? I have a courtyard. And I won't be able to carry unless we make an Eruv. So number one, says Shmuel, is that there has to be a need to make an Eruv. To put it in the terminology the Gemara uses, Osrin. Osrin means that without the benefit of an Eruv, I will not be able to carry from one domain to another domain. So that is criteria number one. Criteria number two, Me'arvin. we could make an Eruv, meaning that we're in a scenario where if we put up an Eruv, the Eruv will be effective. We didn't, obviously, which is why we're now in case of emergency, break glass, and now we have to do Bittar Rishus. But according to Shmuel, both of those requirements are necessary. Now, as we learned in yesterday's daf, what would be a scenario where Shmuel says he can't do Bittar Rishus? So the Gemara gives a simple example. There are a couple of examples, but I'm going to go over one example that we learned yesterday's daf, back on Shamach Vav Amin Aleph. What about the following scenario? Let's say I have two chaseres that are side by side, right? And they're open to one another, and both of them are opened up into a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, now, can the two Chatzir side by side, could they make an Erev before Shabbos? Sure, yeah, of course. Meaning they're opened up to one another, so they could make one large joint Erev. So they definitely fall under the criteria of Me'arvin, meaning they could make an Erev. Are they Osir? No. Meaning that these two Chatzir that are side by side, could each one of them make their own independent Eruv? Do they have to make an Eruv with one another? No. Because the opening between them basically gives them permission to either merge and make one joint Eruv, or separate and each Chatzar making their own unique Eruv, their own independent Eruv. So here I have Ma'arvin, they could make one joint Eruv, but I don't have the criteria of Ostrin. Because they're not oster on one another. There will not be a prohibition. If Erev A makes an Erev, I'm sorry, if Chatzar A makes an Erev, and Chatzar B doesn't make an Erev, so there will be no prohibition for Chatzar A. So they're not oster. So under those circumstances, now Shmuel says, let's say now we go into Shabbos, and they fail to make an Erev, so Shmuel says, no Bittul. We can't make Bittul. Because again, according to Shmuel, I need both criteria. I need the criteria of Osir and I need the criteria of Ma'arvin. Here you don't have it. Okay? I say that as one example according to Shmuel. What about according to Rav Yochanan? That's the other opinion. Rav Yochanan says, no, I only need one of the two criteria. I either need Osir or I need Ma'arvin, but I don't need both. So in other words, in the case that I just illustrated, where I had two courtyards that were side by side, and both of them opened up into Rishus HaRabim, according to Rav Yochanan, and they didn't make an error of going into Shabbos, they could be Mevatar Rishus. Bittul Rishus will be allowed, even though they were not Oster on one another. So in other words, basically, again, just to give us a framework of how to understand and how to see all this, according to Shmuel, Bittul Rishus is, again, both of them are working with the assumption that Bittul Rishus is basically, in case of emergency, break glass. Meaning we should have made an Erev, we didn't make an Erev, and now what? According to Shmuel, it's only under the circumstance where really we're in dire emergency. We're going into Shabbos. We needed to make an Erev, and we failed to do so. According to Rav Yochanan, he doesn't, in other words, it doesn't have to be such an emergency. According to Rav Yochanan, we didn't need to make an Erev, and we could have, but we didn't need to make an Erev. Even then, Rav Yochanan will say, you could do Bittul HaRishus on Shabbos. Okay. So far, so good. Those are our two basic approaches in this world of Bittul HaRishus. It's the Shmuel approach versus the Rav Yochanan approach. And how did we get to this whole discussion? So do you remember that? I'm just going to take one more step backwards in terms of this review, and then we'll go on in the Gemara. So how do we get to this? So it all started all the way back on Samechei Amud Beis when the Gemara told the following story, where Rabbi Chanina, Bar Yossi, Rabbi Chiya, Bar Abba, Rabbi Yassi all went to a particular inn. And what happened is that the innkeeper arrived on Shabbos. Right? And now what? Now that the innkeeper arrived on Shabbos, meaning as we all know, that when you have a non-Jew living in the Chatzer, so you first have to be socher, you first have to rent out from him his rights to the Chatzer, and then you make an Erev. What happened over here, and remember, this got a little bit complicated yesterday, because Rashi gave us two pshatim. Second pshat of Rashi is found in Tosfos, and so, but I'm, like yesterday, I'm going to be consistent today, and just explain this case according to Rashi, as Tosfos himself prefers, the second approach of Rashi, and that is the following. They made an error of going into Shabbos. Again, they went to an inn, it was just the three of them, there were no non-Jews going into Shabbos, they made an error, and what happens? On Shabbos, in comes the innkeeper, right, who's not Jewish. And so what does he effectively do? the Eruv that they made dissolves because you have now a non-Jew. So the question was, can I be socher? And then, what are we going to do after we're socher? Well, I can't make an Eruv at Shabbos. You're not allowed to make an Eruv on Shabbos itself. So can we make an Eruv and then, sorry, right. Can we be socher from him and then can we be mevat rishos? Okay. And oh, I'm sorry, that was the question. And now, plug in everything we just went over. According to Shmuel, no, you can't. Because Shmuel says that the only operative way that we can make an Eruv is, I'm sorry, so many things to keep straight. According to Shmuel, the only way we can be mevat rishos is only if going into Shabbos, A, we needed to make an Eruv, and B, we had the opportunity to make an Eruv. So over here, no, I don't have it. Because the Goy is coming in, and the Goy is basically dissolving the Eruv. Okay, so couldn't have made an Eruv with the presence of the Goy. As the Gemara itself pointed out yesterday's daf, if the Goy came before Shabbos, we would have been great, because we would have rented out from him, and then we would have been in a good situation. But because he comes on Shabbos, so therefore we had no opportunity to make an Eruv. Okay. And what about according to Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan says, that's fine. I'm okay with Bittul Rishus in this case over here. Because again, according to Rav Yochanan, I don't need both criteria in order to create Bittul HaRishus. I only need one of the two criteria. Over here, could we have made an Eruv? No. Were we also one on another? Yes. So therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, there is an opportunity for them to do Bittul HaRishus.
Is once an Eruv is established, is it revocable or irrevocable?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, I didn't really spend a lot of time yesterday focusing on this point. But according to the second shot that we're, according to what we've been saying, yeah, the Eruv is revocable. Revocable because the guy came on Shabbos. In fact, Tosfos actually writes, again, I didn't quote any of this yesterday, but Tosfos actually writes, the Kishabar Nachri Batolei Eruv, that when the non-Jew comes, that's it. So, Eruv gets dissolved.
How is different from the case with Rabban Gamliel and his sons, with the Kutit? He said, he told his son, to go and put your stuff in the Chatzar before Shabbat, so if the Kutit comes after Shabbat and puts it on, you already establish your... So that was like... Like,
well, we're going to come. I'll tell you what. I mean, not in today's daf, and I don't think tomorrow's daf as well. But we're going to come back to that story, and we're going to address that issue of the tzeduki, right? And you're right. That presents a bit of an issue. We will come back to that. That's a you're right. God willing. Okay, that was. I'm telling you, by the way, just to get everything straight over here. This is a complicated sugya within the sixth parak of Erevin. Today it's not going to get any easier. Okay? But, I mean, you know, please don't go now. But I'm saying we're a third of the way in already. But in other words, it's not going to get any easier today. But this is the discussion of the Gemara Bittul HaRishus. But again, though, if you could just look at it from the standpoint of it's Bittul HaRishus is plan B. Right? We should have done plan A. We should have made an Erev, but we didn't. And so now we're basically now down to plan B, which is there's going to be a modified way of being able to carry in such an Eruv, in such a Chatzer. And that is by everyone except for one person, relinquishing their right to the courtyard. Okay. So far, so good. We are now, I'm continuing from where we left off yesterday. I'm starting with Amar Rav Yosef. It's the very top of Samach Vav Amud Beis. And the Gemara is going to basically go over these points that we just made, through the view from the vantage point of Rav Yosef. You must remember about Rav Yosef, we mentioned this time and again throughout Shas. Rav Yosef, over the course of his life, basically turned into a Talmud Chacham twice over. Right? The first time is, you know, when he grew up, he went to yeshiva. So, morning. I get to see you live and in person. So the first time is when he went to yeshiva. Then he got sick. After he gets sick, so he loses all of his learning. And so, a second time in his life, he's got to go basically from scratch and learn all over again. And so very often what ends up happening is that as he's learning now the second time, his student actually says to him, you know, you taught us this. Imagine. It's almost impossible to imagine. You taught us this, and this is how you taught it to us. So, and this is what basically Rav Yosef has to do, is hear basically a recording of himself in order to learn all over again. Okay. I'm Rav Yosef Lo Shmi Ala Hashmaita. So Rav Yosef says, I never heard this. So Amalei Abai, so Abai, the student of Rav Yosef, who's usually the one in the who has the job of reminding him, Atamarni Alan, Vaha Martni Alan, yes, you said it to us, and it was regarding the following Mishnah that you said to us. Amar Shmuel, Ein Bittol, it's not a Mishnah, sorry, it's a memo. I'm sorry, Amar Shmuel, Ein Bittol Rishos Mechatzel Achatzer, Vein Bittol Rishos Bechorva. The statement of Shmuel is that you cannot do Bittol Rishos from one Chatzer to another Chatzer. Meaning, I have two Chatzeres that are side by side of one another. So you can't do Bittol Rishos. Why not? Again, it's for the exact same reason that we've been discussing up until now. Because going into Shabbos, they weren't oser one on another. And because they were not oser one on another, so therefore, you cannot do, these two chatzers cannot do Bittol Rishos. The Amar la, Nalak Yamar Shmuel, Ein Bittol Rishos, Mechatzel Chatzer, La Amar Nala Shei Chatzer, Osu Pesach Echad, Bein Nayem. That's only when the two chatzers are side by side. And there's a one opening between the two chatzers. Ava. However, this is now Rav Yosef teaching within the position of Shmuel. Ava zulif nemizu. However, if I have an interior and exterior chatzer, I've told you we're going to go over this construct case many times throughout Erevin. In the case of zulif nemizu, it means that the interior chatzer is landlocked. The people who are living in this chatzer cannot get out unless they walk out through the exterior chatzer. And then from the exterior chatzer, they can go out to the street. So in other words, this interior chatzer who's landlocked, basically now has, the way we're going to view it, basically two residences. One residence, of course, is in their chatzer themselves, but because they are forced to walk out through the outer chatzer, they also established residence in the outer chatzer as well. So basically, from their perspective, they live not only in the inner chatzer, they also live in the outer chatzer. Now, in this case, mitoch she'osun zel zeh mevatlin. So here, going into Shabbos now, you want to make an Eruv? So the outer chatzer can't just simply say, okay, we'll make our own Eruv. It's not going to work. Because the inner chatzer is considered a resident of the outer chatzer. So therefore, when the outer chatzer makes an Eruv, they must include the inner chatzer in order to create their Eruv. So now in this case, I have now both criteria. I have, can they make an Eruv? Sure they can. Must they make an Eruv? Yeah, absolutely. If they don't make an Eruv, the people in the outer chatzer can't carry.
Are you following Rabbi Yehuda on this, or both come under?
That's the right question to ask. Oh, I wanted to sidestep that issue. Okay, but that is definitely the right question to ask. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here discusses that very question. I'll tell you what. I'll discuss it with you afterwards. Okay, because Rashi wants to make the argument that this doesn't have to follow the position of Rabbi Akiva, and it gets a little bit tricky. Okay, you know a couple things about Erevin. So but right now I'm going to pretend like he didn't ask. So I'll come back afterwards. We'll discuss it afterwards. So Amarle Ana Amina Mishmei Deshmo Hachi. So okay, good. So once again now, what do you see? The way Rav Yosef understood Shmuel is exactly how I described it, how we described it yesterday in yesterday's daf. Good. So Amar le'ana min mishmei de Shmuel hachiv Amar Shmuel ein lanu be'er v'nela kolosh na mishnah steinu. A small problem, a technical problem, and that is Shmuel makes another statement. And the other statement to Shmuel is that in the world of Erevin, you have to follow the mishnahs literally. Meaning we have, right, 10 parakim of Erevin. I'm going to guess somewhere around 100 mishnahs in Erevin, give or take. And in the world of Erevin, whenever you learn a mishnah, you must learn the mishnahs literally. There can be no deviation from the literal meaning of the mishnah. And what does the mishnah say? Actually, we haven't learned this mishnah yet. This mishnah is coming up on Daf Samach Tes. The mishnah says, Anshei Chatzer v'lo Anshei Chatzeros. That if I have Anshei Chatzer, members of a Chatzer, who forgot to make an Eruv, so then what they could do is Bittol HaRishos. That's the mishnah coming up later on, Daf Samach Tes. Now it says Anshei Chatzer, and you'll note, it does not say Anshei Chatzeros. So what the mishnah therefore implies is that two courtyards, regardless of how they're constructed, side by side, front back, it doesn't matter. Two courtyards cannot make Bittol HaRishos. So now, this statement, Rav Yosef, you made within the statement of Shmuel, does not seem to conform to the other statement of Shmuel, which is, read your Mishnayos and Erevin literally. And the Mishnah says that only one chatzar can do bittar rishus, but two eruvin side by side. And again, it doesn't seem to matter how they're formatted, side by side, front back. Two chatzers cannot do bittar rishus.
But what
right?
If one chatzar is part of the other chatzers? Like, does it count as one?
No,
does not member.
Correct. I understand your question. No, they're not counted. It's still regarded as two chatzers. So Amar Leiki Amar Lan Ein Lan Beir Vanela Kalashem Hashanseinu Aha Martlan. So first of all, no, you misunderstood. That statement of Shmuel was not a global statement about all the Mishnayos in Erevin. It was only specific to one Mishnah, which again, we haven't learned this Mishnah yet. Hamavu lechatzir is kechatzir labatim. The relationship of a mavu to the chatzir is the same as the relationship of the chatzir to houses. Now, later on, that's in the Ayins. So sometime next week, late next week, we're going to get to this Mishnah, God willing, and we will discuss this Mishnah and what exactly Shmuel meant when he says that the only way to read that Mishnah is literally, without any deviation from the literal meaning of that Mishnah. We'll get to that point later on, but in other words, it sidesteps our issue. Because our issue is, what are you going to do with the Mishnah on Samech Tes, where it says Anshei Chatzer and it doesn't say Anshei Chatzeros? That you don't have to take too literally. You don't have to read that Mishnah super literally. That Mishnah could just simply mean Anshei Chatzeros as well. Okay, so we sidestepped the issue, and now we're back. We're now in the middle of Samech Vav Amud Beis, and now I told you things are going to get complicated, things are going to get even more complicated. In this world of Bittar Rishos, Amar Shmuel Ein Bittar Rishos B'chatzer L'chatzer, Ve'ein Bittar Rishos B'chorva. Shmuel's of the position that you cannot be Mevat Rishos from one Chatzer to another Chatzer, okay? Again, for the reasons that we've been discussing now throughout this morning, is because according to Shmuel, because they're not asering one on another, therefore you cannot be mevat rishus from one onto another. And the same thing is true of the chorva. Chorva means a ruined house, right? A house in ruins. In this case, basically I have a house on one side, a house on the other side, and in the middle I have a ruined house. This ruined house basically serves as a chatzer, and in between the two outer houses. Shmuel will tell you, this case as well, if they fail to make an Eruv, they cannot be Mevat Rishos. Okay, well, it's basically the same point. Just, the Gemara is going to explain in just a moment why I need both statements of Shmuel. The Ein Bittar Rishos Mechatzer Chatzer, Ein Bittar Rishos Mechorva. Rav Yochanan Amar, Yesh Bittar Rishos Mechatzer Chatzer, V'yesh Bittar Rishos Mechorva, and Rav Yochanan disagrees. And again, it goes back to the point that we made earlier this morning, that Rav Yochanan does not have such a high threshold. In order to do Bittar Rishos on Shabbos, it doesn't have to be where we were ostering one on the other. Even as long as we could have made an Eruv, and we didn't, We have the option on Shabbos, it would be Mevat Rishos. So if I have two chatzeros, and according to Rav Yochanan, it doesn't matter whether they're front, back, or side. It does not matter. As long as we had the opportunity to make an Erev before Shabbos, we can be Mevat Rishos on Shabbos itself. Utsricha. Now the Gemara over here, just a small technical point. Why both of these scenarios? The scenario of Chorva and the scenario of Shtei Chatzers. Utsricha diash mina b'chatzel l'chatzel ba'akamar shmol mishum da ha'tash mishilachud, ha'tash mishilachud. In the case of the two side-by-side chatzeros, I understand Shmuel's need, or interest in being machmer, because look, they're side-by-side. They don't need one another, and quite frankly, they really operate independent of one another. They could have made a joint Erev before Shabbos, but they didn't need to. And so, and quite honestly, they could have operated, and they do operate basically independent of one another. So there I can understand Shmuel, who says, and on Shabbos, we don't have an emergency, meaning you are one chatzer, you're another chatzer. We don't have to be, there's no option of being mevat rishos one to another. However, in the case of chorva, where I have two houses, and in between these two houses I have ruins, which basically serves as a chatzer, detash mishtei chadal tarvayu, where basically it serves both of the houses on each of its side, Ema Modele Rav Yochanan, you could have made the argument that Shmuel there kind of concedes to Rav Yochanan that because that middle property almost serves as like a joint chatzer, so therefore Rav Shmuel would agree to Rav Yochanan that you could do Bita Rishos. V'chi in Rav Haba come Rav Yochanan v'abahach modela l'Shmuel. And then again, if I had the case of Chorva, I would have gone the other way. Meaning I would have said that in the case of Chorva, Rav Yochanan would allow Bita Rishos. But in the case of Shtei Chatzeros that are side by side, I could have made the argument that Rav Yochanan agrees to Shmuel that you can't do Bita Rishos. Tzricha, therefore they're both necessary. Okay, that actually not as difficult as I promised. This will be as difficult as promised. This now is basically going to take us through the following discussion. Okay, again, the basic points we keep hitting again and again, Shmuel has two criteria that needs to be met in order for on Shabbos for us to be able to do Bita Rishus, while Rav Yochanan only has one criteria. For Shmuel, the two criteria are that we need to have been able to make an Eruv, and without an Eruv, we would not have been able to carry from one to another.
It's obligatory.
Okay, right. So again, according to Shmuel, it's Ma'arvin v'Osrin. And according to Rav Yochanan, no. There's only one criteria that's necessary, and that is prior to Shabbos, we could have made an Eruv. We didn't have to make an Eruv. I still could have carried within the confines of my own chatzer, but we could have made an Eruv. Good. That's Shmuel, that's Rav Yochanan. Now, within the position of Shmuel, what have we been saying pretty much consistent is that if I have two chatzeres that are side by side, because they didn't need to make an Eruv, so therefore, come Shabbos, they cannot do Bita Rishos. Good. However, we also did say, at least Rav Yosef said it on the top of the Amud, if I have a front-back scenario, an interior and exterior Eruv, so there, Shmuel is going to yield. He's going to concede. Why? Because again, the interior chatzer, they have to walk through the exterior chatzer. They're almost considered as if they are members of the exterior chatzer, and so therefore, it's they without an eruv, no one would be allowed to carry. Fine.
What's he conceding? It's folks here, they have to
do it. Well, exactly. That's exactly the point. Since they have to make an eruv, so therefore, if they fail to do so then you could do Bita Rishus on Shabbos. Okay. That's how Rav Yosef understood Shmuel on the top of the Amud. On this Rav Yosef understanding of Shmuel, the Gemara now is going to point out that we can even fine-tune this understanding. So in other words, we are in Shita Shmuel. I mean, you have to understand how deep we are into the discussion of Bitul HaRishos. We're now just discussing the Shita of Shmuel, and we're discussing the construct of interior and exterior chatzer. So it's hard to imagine, it's hard to get deeper into this discussion than what we're about to do. So, sorry, Amar Abaye. Hada Mishmuel ain't better Rishus mechatzel chatzel Amar Nala b'she chatzel osu pesach hecha b'neim. Ava beis chatzel zu lefni mizu mitoch she'osrim evatlin. So the way Abaye understands Shmuel is basically the same exact way Rav Yosef understood Shmuel. Which, by the way, happens to work out perfectly because Abaye was a student of Rav Yosef, so just like the Rebbe, Rav Yosef says this is the proper way to understand Shmuel, so the Talmud Abaye says it as well. Good. But Rava has a different understanding of Shmuel, a more nuanced understanding of Shmuel. Rava Amar, Afilu Shtei Chatzer Zu Lifni Mizu. Even in the construct case of interior and exterior chatzeros, even then, Shmuel will tell you, sometimes, yes, we can do Bittul. Sometimes, no, we cannot do Bittul. It depends. Now, what are our variables? Okay? The variables are going to be the following. In the case of the two chatzeros that are one exterior, one interior, one variable is, where are we going to put the Erev down? Where are we going to put it down? We actually have two options. We can either put the Erev in the outer, or we could put the Eruv in the inner. Now, if everybody contributes to the Eruv, let's be frank and clear with one another. Who cares? Meaning, every single member of both Chatzeros contributed to the Eruv. We put the Eruv down in somebody's house. It doesn't matter whether we put it in the inner or whether we put it in the outer. But where it's going to make a difference, this variable is going to make a difference, is if not everybody contributed. That's going to be our second variable. Meaning, who didn't contribute? Could be that it's a member of the outer, or it could be that it's a member of the inner. So now basically we're going to play with two variables in this discussion. The first variable is, where was the Eruv actually placed? in the inner versus in the outer. And the second variable is going to be who forgot, a member of the inner or a member of the outer. Okay, good. And now basically what we're going to, all we're going to do is we're just simply going to plug in the variables. Sorry. We're going to plug in the variables, and basically what we're going to, through this process of formula, we're going to see that sometimes the equation is going to come out, we can do bittul, and sometimes the equation is going to come out, we cannot do bittul, and it's going to basically be just a simple question of, are they oster on one another? Are they not oster on one another? Really, really easy stuff, right? Rav Yochanan, by the way, wouldn't engage in any of this discussion. Because according to Rav Yochanan, I don't need this criteria of oser. It never bothers Rav Yochanan that they're not oster on one another. Could they have made an error before Shabbos? If the answer is yes, then let's go forward. Then we could do bittul rishus. So this entire discussion is within Shita Shmuel, and again, now it's really deep into Shita Shmuel, because now we're going to be discussing specifically the case of interior and exterior, with the two variables that I just laid out. Okay? Honestly, it's the easiest thing in the world. Okay. So, Shtei Chatzer Zulfni Mizu, Pamim Mevalim, Pamim Ein Mevalim. Ketzad. So now, let's go. Now, it's no Eruvim Bechitzona. So let's now talk about where the Eruv was placed in the outer courtyard. Vishachal Echad. And somebody forgot. Now here, it doesn't matter. Bein min apnimis v'bein min achitzona v'lo Eruv shtein asuros. Now, because somebody forgot, and whether it was somebody, a member of the interior, whether it was a member of the exterior, it's all going to be prohibited. So the net yield is going to be, we could do bittul harishus. According to Rav Yochanan. Now, if you don't fully understand that, watch what happens when we move the Eruv to the inner chatzer. It may shed light. Nasnu Eruvim bepnimis. Now let's say that the Eruv, when we say Eruv, we of course mean the basket of bread, was placed in a homeowner of the interior chatzer. Vishachach echad min apnimis velo Erev. And a member of the interior chatzer forgot and he didn't make an Eruv. Shtein asuros. So you see, everyone loses out. Now, the members of the inner chatzer, they of course lose out, because one person did not contribute, and as we've gone over time and again, all you need is one person not to contribute, and the Erev does not work. The member of the outer chatzer also lose out as well, because the Erev was placed in the inner chatzer, they were banking on the effectiveness of the inner Erev. It's their Erev as well. And if it doesn't work for the inner, it's not going to work for the outer as well. However, shachach echad min achitzona v'lo irev. But let's do it this way. Now, it gets interesting. They place the irev in the inner chatzar. All the members of the inner chatzar contributed. So from the inner chatzar's perspective, they get a check. A member of the outer chatzar forgot to contribute to the irev that was placed in the inner chatzar. So now, penimus muteres v'chitzona asura. The inner chatzer, they're going to be mutter. The outer chatzer is going to be asur. So now, we have a very interesting scenario that under these conditions, where the eruv was placed in the inner, a member of the outer forgot to contribute to that eruv, members of the inner are now good, members of the outer are not good, and now we have a scenario where they're not oser ze al ze. Nasnu eruvan bechitzona. Okay. Period. Huh?
Okay. Don't they have to carry it through the outer?
Okay. We'll get to that.
So they're right. The outer, the right is bitul.
Okay. So we're gonna go over every one of these scenarios. So now let's go back to the first scenario. Nasnu eruvan bechitzona v'shachar echa benem and apnimis benem and chitzona v'lo yiruv shem asturos. So the Gemara explains. Hai bar panimis lamani vatel. Meaning, members of the inner chatzar, right, they would love to do bittul harishus. Who are they going to do bittul harishus with? Lama nivatel. Livatel livnei panimis. So, how about being mevat harishus to the other members of the inner chatzar? So, leisa le'arvihu gabayhu. Well, there's no Eruv. Meaning, that the members of the Eruv is not by them. The Eruv is in the outer chatzer. And again, according to Shmuel, part of the criteria in order to create bittul, in order for us to do bittul, is only under the circumstances where we could have made an Eruv, but their Eruv is not even by them. Okay, good. So let them do bittul vis-a-vis the people, the members of the outer chatzer. Remember, this is Shita Shmuel, ain bittul v'shos mechatzel l'chatzer. Shmuel's of the opinion that members of one chatzer cannot be mevatel towards members of another chatzer. So that's not going to work. Let's go the other way. Hay bar chitzona l'man nivatel. Now, members of the other chatzer, can they do bittul? No. Livatel evne chitzona ika penimis to asra alayu. Well, they cannot be mevatel the reshus l'gabe, the members of the outer chatzer, because they're not the only people involved in this discussion. The members of the inner chatzer, who basically are de facto residents of the outer chatzer, you have them to consider. Okay, good. So levatel evne penimis. So let them be mevat reshus vis-a-vis the members of the inner chatzer. Once again, remember, we're within Shita Shmuel. Ein betel reshus mechatzel lechatzer. You can't be mevat reshus from one chatzer to another. So in other words, when the Erev is placed in the outer chatzer, and somebody forgot, and it doesn't matter who, either a member of the inner or a member of the outer, bittul reshus just simply does not become an option. Fine. Now let's go to the other case. Nasnu Eruv and Bipnimis, where the Eruv was placed in the inner chatzer. So here, Shachat Echam and Bipnimis, Velo Eruv. Shtei and Asuros. They're both going to be prohibited. Hai Bar Pnimis Laman Nivatel. And again, the Gemara explains. Members of the inner chatzer, well, who are they going to be mevatel towards? Livatel ifne apanimis ika chitzona da'asra alayum. So, what are they going to do? Be mevatel reshus for the other members of the inner chatzer? Problem is, remember, the Eruv was placed in the inner chatzer. That Eruv represents not only the members of the inner chatzer, but also the members of the outer chatzer as well. And so, therefore, they can't just simply say, okay, everybody here in the inner chatzer, we're going to be mevatel reshus towards one person. Because you have all the other members of the outer chatzer. Good. So why not levatel evnei chitzona? Why not just be mevatel reshus to the members of the outer chatzer? Ein betel reshus mechatzel lechatzer. Again, we're within Shita Shmuel. You simply can't do that. Top of Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. Shachach echa min hachitzona velo eruv. So if a member of the outer chatzer forgot to make an eruv, here, vadai panimios muteris. The members of the inner chatzer are mutter. For what reason? The achta dasha or mishtamsha. Because they concede from the union. Because now that I have one eruv placed in the inner chatzer, all the members of the inner chatzer did contribute. It's some of the members of the outer chatzer who didn't, or even one member of the outer chatzer who did not. So basically now the inner chatzer says to the outer chatzer like this. Look, guys. We didn't need to make one joint Eruv. We would have been fine going into the Shabbos if we ourselves, on our own, would have made our own Eruv. We only included you just to make life easier for you. But we certainly didn't want to include you to make life more difficult for us. What we're going to do is we're going to close the door and basically seed from the union. Meaning, you guys didn't do your job. We're here, everyone here in our chatzer did our job. So for this particular Shabbos, we're closing the door, we're seceding from the union, we are going to be basically a independent chatzer for this particular Shabbos. Because they can do that, so then basically now, the inner chatzer is going to have an effective Eruv, and the outer chatzer obviously is stranded, but for good reason, not every member of the outer chatzer contributed. The achtadashna mishtama v'chitzona asura. Okay. That was a mouthful. Okay? So, once again, did we got all that straight? Basically, the way that the way that Rava understands Shmuel, even in the case of the interior-exterior chatzeros, it's not going to be that Shmuel is going to say at all times, hey, not a problem, we'll just simply be mevatel reshus from one to another, because there are going to be circumstances like we just got done describing, where truth be told is that the two chatzeros can actually be divided and separated one from the other. Okay. Okay, and now just one last point on this discussion. An exchange from Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua to Rava. If a member of the inner chatzar forgot and did not make an Erev and did not contribute to the Erev, so why not do the following? Amay shtei masuros. Livato bar penimis livne penimis v'teisi chitzona v'tishtar ba'adayum. So the Gemara says, why not just simply do the following? Have, right, the one who forgot to contribute from the inner chatzar, let him just simply be mevatel rishus. Now again, he can't be mevatel rishus to anyone in the outer chatzar, because again, this is Shita Shmuel, and he cannot be mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another, but let him in the very least be mevatel rishus to the members of the inner chatzar, and by doing so now, you'll have the remaining members of the inner chatzar be able to join with the outer chatzar. So the Gemara says, that's not going to work. Why not? Because there's another detail within the world of Bittal Rishus, which quite frankly we haven't discussed yet, which we're going to be discussing later on in this parak, and that's the following. When you are Mevatel Rishus, if you're under the circumstance where you could be, and when you're Mevatel Rishus, how exactly does it work? Must you just simply make a flat statement, I'm being Mevatel Rishus? Not that you have to say it to every member of the chatzar, you just simply have to say it. Or no, do you have to say it to every member of the chatzar? The opinion of the chachamim is, this is subject to a machlokas tanayim. The opinion of the chachamim is, you must be mevatel rishus to every member of the chatzar. In this scenario, because it's an inner and outer chatzar, so that means if somebody in the inner chatzar forgot to contribute to the Erev, and now he's in a scenario where he has to be Mevatel Rishus, it will require him to be Mevatel Rishus to all members of the inner chatzar and all members of the outer chatzar. And because we're working within the Shita of Shmuel, and he's not allowed to be Mevatel his Rishus to the members of the outer chatzar, so therefore it simply will not work. Okay. Finally, a moment of breathing. Not a lot of breathing room right now, but just a moment of breathing room. Good, that was a very deep discussion within the Shita of Shmuel. Now what we're able to do is take a small step backwards and basically let's chazer. Let's review the two basic opinions of Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. We have two cases that we need to go through and we'll finish for today. Rav Yochanan, we're gonna take the more lenient position. Generally speaking in Erevin, we follow the lenient position. Okay, Bittal Rishus is in case of emergency break glass. We should have made an Erev, we didn't make an Erev, and now we are here on Shabbos, and we want at least one member of the Chatzar to be able to carry from his house into the common courtyard. So how do we do it? So everyone relinquishes their right. The question between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan is, under what circumstances exactly can we perform this breaking glass, this idea of being Mevatel Rishus? So again, according to Shmuel, two things need to have happened. Two failures need to have happened. Number one, we're going into Shabbos, we needed to make an Erev. This is what's called Ostrin. And two, we had the opportunity to make an Erev, and we didn't. According to Rav Yochanan, I don't need both criteria. Essentially now what we're going to be discussing is, according to Rav Yochanan, do I need any criteria? Meaning, I know he's not as extreme as Shmuel, but is there any criteria whatsoever for Rav Yochanan? That's going to be our next discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara gives a great little introduction to this discussion. The Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes, Kipage Bahade Hadade, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, whenever they got together, so they had a mutual respect and fear of one another. Right? They were fearful of each other's wisdom. And each one of them had a particular skill set in terms of cognitive ability. Rav Chista, Martan, Sifsa, Seme, Masnifsa, Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista, his lips would start quivering when he got to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was, he was Sinai, right? He just basically knew Mishnayos, Brisos. Rav Sheshes was just had a powerful memory. And he had a bank, a reservoir of Mishnayos and Brisos, and therefore, you couldn't trip him up. He just knew too much. Rav Sheshes Marti Kulegufe Mil Papul de Rav Chista. Rav Chista, on the other hand, he had his own particular skill set. And that was his power of analysis. His power of analysis was strong. Rav Sheshet would shake when he would meet with Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda, basically, his analytical skills were superb. He is what we would call Oker Harim. Right? I'm going back to the end of Brachos for anyone who remembers. That was Rav Yosef and Rabbah. Okay. And here's the case. Meaning, basically what I just said a moment ago, meaning basically it's a probe into the sheet of Rav Yochanan, how lenient Rav Yochanan is going to be, and we're going to discuss it under the following, within the context of the following case. I have two houses on two sides of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay. Now, as far as Erevin is concerned, they're literally two sides of the street. Okay? There is no opportunity for these two houses to make an Erev. When you're on two other sides of the street, the real Rishus HaRabim is walking through, you can't make an Erev.
Rabbi Yehuda
says they can. Right. Correct. But, absolutely correct, but, right. We're not holding like Rav Yehuda. Uvao nachrim v'kifu mechitza b'shabbos. And, again, a kind of a random case, but again, just to illustrate the following point. On Shabbos, what happened is that I have non-Jews come and construct a wall that actually now will circumscribe around these two houses. The wall cuts right through the street. Okay, I understand it's a weird case, but just let's accept the case for what it is. And so now it happened on Shabbos, and now I have these two houses that are sharing a chatzer on Shabbos. Okay? Now the question is, obviously they can't make an Erev, it's Shabbos. You can only make an Erev before Shabbos. But could they at least be Mevatel Rishos? Now don't ask from the perspective of Shmuel, because you know where that's going to get you. Shmuel will say absolutely not. So basically the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, no way. Look, even in a case where we could have made an Erev yesterday, under certain circumstances, Shmuel says, no, I cannot be Mevatel Rishus from one Chatzar to another. So over here, there wasn't even a chatzar yesterday going into Shabbos. So Shmuel will of course say, no way can these two be mevatel rishos.
But you only have one chatzar, you don't have two.
Still, it's just, I understood. But it's the same basic point though. There was no chatzar yesterday. So Shmuel's going to tell you, there was no chatzar yesterday. There's not even a discussion. My question is, within the Shita of Rav Yochanan, who does allow bitter rishus from one chatzah to another? So therefore, the ibay la ruvim and mo matim arev bitul and ami matim evatal. Avahacha, maybe over here, from Rav Yochanan's perspective, he would be a little more stringent. Why? The lo matim arevim esmol bitul and ami lo matim evatal. Because from the perspective of Rav Yochanan, even he who is more lenient, he at least requires there to have been at least a possibility of the two chatziris making an Erev. Here, going into Shabbos, the two houses on the two opposite sides of the street didn't even have the opportunity to make an Erev. Odilma Loshna, or even Rav Yochanan would allow in this case us to make an Erev, sorry, us to be Mevatel Rishus in this given scenario. Amar Lei Ein Mevatlin. And the answer, without any explanation, which is kind of funny, because the whole introduction to the story is powerful analysis. But and the answer is a very cut and dry, Ein Mevatlin. No, in other words, here, even Rav Yochanan will tell you cannot be Mevatel. And again, the explanation here seems to be simple. And that is that we didn't even have an opportunity to make an Erev going into the Shabbos. So therefore, Bittul doesn't work.
Is this entity considered like a nolat now?
It's you know what it is, the way I view it, and again, do with it what you want. This is my own thinking. But the way I view it is basically, Bittul almost becomes like a substitution for Erev. Meaning, we could have made an Erev, we didn't do it, so now Bittul comes as like almost like a almost like a relief pitcher. It's like a bad substitution for what Erev once upon a time was. Middle reliever, if you will. not a solid closer. But in other words, we didn't do the Erev. Okay, so this substitutes. The reason why, again, this is the way I'm viewing it. The reason why Rav Yochanan, in this case, would say you can't do Bitar Rishus is because going into Shabbos, I didn't even have an opportunity to make an Erev. So therefore, if I didn't have an opportunity to make an Erev, I can't now come up with my, in case of emergency, break glass, because there's nothing to substitute. We didn't have an Erev opportunity, so therefore you can't even do Bitar Rishus. Okay, case number two, and with this, we finished with today. And we finished with the topic of Bitar Rishus. Case number two is as follows. Meis Nachru B'Shabbos, Mahu. Let's say the guy dies on Shabbos. Right? We started off the whole discussion. Really, this is unbelievable, full circle. We started the whole discussion with the guy coming on Shabbos and creating all these problems because by him coming on Shabbos, it dissolves the Erev. And so now we want to know, can we A, rent from him on Shabbos, and B, after rental, then be mevatel rishus. Here, full circle, he dies on Shabbos. Okay? So, meis nachri b'Shabbos ma'u. Aliba demand amr sochrin, lo ti bayela chashta tarte avdinan chadami baye. Look, the opinion that was expressed in the beginning of this whole discussion, all the way back on Samachay Amud Beis, right, on the bottom of the Amud, of whether you can be socher, you cannot be socher. Do you remember that was debatable? It was like three lines from the bottom of the Amud, Samachay Amud Beis. Right, Rabbi Chanin bar Yosef Amar Niskor, Rav Asi Amar Lo Niskor, right, question of whether you can be socher, you cannot be socher. If you subscribe to the position that you can be socher, over here, it's fine. It certainly would be fine. Because if you subscribe to the viewpoint that you could be socher, that means that he accepts the idea that A, we could rent out the rights of the chatzar from the non-Jew, even on Shabbos, and B, afterwards going to be mevatel rishus. So here, the guy died. Correct. In other words, so once he's dead, he's no longer there. The fact that there is a home over there, not owned by a Jew, as we already discussed back on Samach Beis, that doesn't matter whatsoever. Meaning it's totally has no status. And so therefore we're fine. However, Elakiti Bayalach Liba Daman Damin Sochrin. However, this does become a valid question based on the one opinion who says that you cannot be socher. So if the guy is alive and I cannot be socher, fine. Because there I need to get through two steps. Step A, rent his rights to the courtyard. Step B, be mevatel rishus. Here in this case, however, it's only he died. So now that he died, now we at least be mevatel rishus. So ain't so chintarti hu delo avdin and hachad avdin and odim lo shna. Amarle ani omer mevatlin vehamnuna amar ain mevatlin. So here, a machlokus on this very unique scenario, where one opinion is that if the guy died, you can be mevatel, and if the guy, and the other opinion is no, you cannot. Okay, ad kan. Okay, good. Let's now that we're done with the whole discussion. So we are basically leaving off our entire discussion of Bitar Rishus with the following. And by the way, we're going to come back and discuss Bitar Rishus later on. But basically, the basic issue of under what circumstances can we be mevatel Rishus on Shabbos, according to Rav Yochanan, as long as we could have made Erev. Did we have to? No. But as long as we could have made Erev, that would be sufficient. According to Shmuel, two criteria. A, we had to have made an Erev. And B, aser. In other words, if we didn't make an Erev into Shabbos, we would have asered one on another. Those are the two positions.
Good, everyone. Locations. We're going to begin in 1 minute.
Okay. Those are the two basic approaches. Lamaisa lahalacha, we follow like Rav Yochanan. We're makel like Rav Yochanan, and. But we finished off the whole discussion by pointing out that even according to Rav Yochanan, you still need the criteria of at least we had the ability to make an Erev. If I didn't even have the ability to make an Erev going into Shabbos, so then even then we can't do Bitar Rishus.